really values the commitment and involvement of all of our church. I may happen to be pastoral staff, but there are a huge number of our congregation that are pastors, people that are deeply committed to caring and loving other people. So what I want you to do this morning, while we're getting set up for our discussion, we're doing something a little different for a sermon this morning. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person next to you, not your spouse. Turn to the person next to you who's not your spouse and tell them something about church that you love. Go. And if I've invited you to speak today, please come up now. Grab a chair, buddy. Lise, please join me. Right here. Yeah, right here is good. Lise doesn't bite.
No.
Well, okay, hold on. Okay. So I gave them both, you guys a stack of cards. We're going to talk about those afterwards. So a big thing about Christianity is sharing, communicating and understanding your faith. And that can be sometimes pretty intimidating. So I asked you to share something you love about church. How many of you would be comfortable sharing that with your neighbor? Yes. Let's see a show of hands. That's great. Now, keep the hands up. How many of you shared it in the last year? Put your hands down if you haven't. How many of you in the last 6 months? How many in the last month? How many in the last week? You're not sure which one you've been doing? Okay. Okay. I think a lot of the reason why is, as church we don't tend to share these things is because it can be intimidating and frightening. And you know, generally the top two reasons that people give for not sharing about their faith is one, my gosh, what am I going to say? How am I going to handle it? I don't know what's going to happen when I tell them. What if they say something? I won't know how to handle it. And the second thing is this going to ruin my relationship with them? Those are the top two reasons why people struggle sharing their faith. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about a little bit. We set up a little panel discussion. We're going to talk about what it is about faith that we can share, a heart and understanding it, and maybe a couple tools. So it's going to be a little fun. We've got a video that we're going to view, and then we're going to stop the video and have a little panel conversation. So if this looks like fun to you, come talk to me afterwards. We still have slots in the third week. So we're going to start with the video. It's called the Life Shared Series. For Alpha.
I've been following Jesus now for more than 15 years. And even after all of these years, I'm still struck by the way someone's life can be totally changed when God enters their story. And I bet you've seen this too. Like, there's nothing quite like watching somebody go from hopelessness to being full of hope, or when someone's weighed down by shame or fear, and then they experience freedom and courage. And even as I'm talking about this right now, I find myself longing to see this happen around me more often. Another thing that strikes me after this many years of following Jesus is how hard I can sometimes find it to share my faith with others. I can still find it intimidating or awkward to talk to my friends about Jesus. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And so in this series, we want to spend the next three sessions talking about it. We want to look at how we can all play a part in seeing lives transformed around us. We're going to look at themes like invitation and hospitality and prayer and what it could mean for us to share our lives and our faith with others. In each episode, we'll hear a few of our friends unpacking some of these ideas, and we'll also hear stories of people that have shared their faith with their friends at Alpha. If you're unfamiliar with Alpha, it's a course where you can invite your friends to explore the Christian faith over a meal. And throughout this journey, you'll have a chance to talk together about how these ideas and stories might affect the way you think about sharing your faith. So to start things off, take a few minutes right now to talk with your group about what feelings or thoughts come up for you around this idea of sharing your faith.
What feelings or thoughts come up for you around this idea of sharing your faith? Who wants to start us off?
Well, to be honest, I know Ted can vouch this. It doesn't really matter who I meet or who I talk to. It seems to be within, it can be within 20 minutes or 25. I talk about the Lord all the time because he's part of my living life. And I'm not just saying that if somebody wants to hear it. It just comes out of me. Yeah. I just met, just before we left the Starbucks even yesterday, I was talking to a girl. He went to the washroom. He comes out. And her and I are laughing, talking. I was talking to her about the Lord. Just how we started to talk about clothing. It just happened. So it's who he is in me all the time. So it just comes out. It's not like I plan it or I don't even think about it. It just happens. So I have to tell you that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and for some of us it does. It flows very naturally. So, yeah.
It's so nice to work for the Lord. You know, Jesus did so much on the cross. So it's my time to give him thanks and go and tell the world through the Holy Spirit to open my mouth. And it's the Holy Spirit that will speak through me. It's not going to be Lise. Yeah. So he gave me this burden, and I love that burden. It's to share the good news. It is a good news, and I love to share. And when people stop and look at me, and they say, Lise, how come you're always so happy? And I love to say, it's because I have Jesus in my heart. And that opened doors, and then people come to the Lord. I have nothing, but it's the glory goes to God. Yeah. Amen.
Well, and that's, sorry, go ahead, Roger. No, the whole point is that we have some conversation here, so it's fine.
Yeah, I was just remembering that I used to feel really intimidated at work many years back, you know, when people used to say, and I'm sure this happens to everyone, they say, so what are you doing on the weekend? And you want to say, I'm going to church, but you end up not saying it. You say, oh, not much. You know, that's usually the response, isn't it? Not much, or
the kind of safe,
yeah,
the safe non-commitment, yeah. Right?
Like, and then one day, God put it on my heart to say I'm going to church. You know, so I said I'm going to church, and as soon as I said it, it just opened up a whole new
conversation.
Door, you know, yeah. Like I was able to then tell them about it, and then I, you know, every time anyone asked me what I'm doing the weekend, I'd always say I'm going to church. You know, I could tell them what I'm doing at church, and then I was shocked to find there's other people at work who also go to church, and you know, and I didn't even know it myself, you know. So it just, if you just have that extra bit of, you know, just break through that barrier of intimidation and just say, you know, be honest, and you'll be surprised what doors it can open.
Yeah, well, and it can be very intimidating, can it? You know, especially when we're talking with people that we don't know what they believe or if they believe, and it can sometimes not be okay culturally to talk about it. I think often the biggest barrier we run into is not what's actually happening or what's actually going to happen, but what we're afraid is going to happen, right? It's that false expectation appearing real, the word fear. False expectation appearing real. So we kind of get a little nervous, and we're like, but if I talk about my faith, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to think I'm a weirdo? You know?
That's exactly what I was going to say, in contrast to what we just heard. is fear. And I know God didn't give us the spirit of fear. But it is real nervousness. We live in a society where, well, at work, you know, they're removing God from the scene, and it's a godless society. So it is hard sometimes in that context to share.
I don't want to say I kind of have two groups of people, but I definitely do have two groups of people. And out in the world, people that I just meet, I really believe that they, you know, that God put them in front of me, and it's okay to put what to share whatever words. But then there are people that I know well, that I really care what they think of me, and that's harder. Like, you know, immediate family or the next door neighbor or people that already have a reference of who you are, and that's harder. It's harder for those people that you either really respect or already have a reference for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Often the hardest people to share a faith with is our family. Mm-hmm. You know, I have siblings that it's a stone wall. You know, like literally years and years of not talking to me because they don't like the idea of me bringing up Jesus. And it's in their head. It's not actually, you
know. It's in our heads too.
Yeah. And I think it's a trick we play on ourselves most of the time.
Yeah. The experience I went through in 39 years with the Lord is, sometime at the beginning, I said, oh my goodness, you know, I have to tell them the good news. So the first person that I brought to the Lord, is that okay to say brought? Yeah. I was nervous inside. And then when this woman gave her life to Jesus, I said, wow, that was easy. But but it was not me. It was God that put that easiness in me. And the next time I wanted to meet everybody, like I said, oh my goodness, I want her to be saved and her and him. And God says, in my time. Oh, I said, Lord, thank you so much. You know, in his time, not in Lee's time. But it's so great. Don't be afraid, church, to talk about that Jesus, because Jesus did sacrifice his life for me, and he wants to do it. And he chose us. It's not a joke. He chose us to go like the disciple. So I'm so amazed to do his work. And don't be afraid. God is with us at all time with the Holy Spirit.
Just what Lise just said, when I first came to the Lord in a different church, I have to admit, I heard that message. Just say it and don't be afraid. But I didn't even know what that meant. But I have to tell you, it just flowed out as God began to lead with me, intending to, because I never have forgotten where he found me and took me from. And I rejoice daily because I know where I came from. And he miraculously, radically changed me. And family members and people, they all didn't come to the Lord, but they all say today, I'm a different person. And it's an ongoing event.
Well, and most of the errors we run into in Christianity come in sets. Too much one way or too much the other. Too much emphasis on spirits or not enough attention to the spiritual things. And with evangelism, it's the same. Sometimes there's this I feel responsible to make sure everybody I know knows Jesus, and what am I going to do if I ruin this? And the opposite of, I'm useless anyways. Like, what can I do? Who am I going to affect? You know, and they're equal and opposite errors. And over the time of teaching, you'll see that's one of my favorite things to point out is the equal and opposite errors that we tend to run into. So it's funny because for the first, the night I became a Christian, I witnessed my neighbor and they became a Christian. The night I became a Christian, within an hour, I had helped somebody else walk to Christ. But for the next year, I was almost locked up in fear of talking to somebody that wasn't already a Christian. And it's so funny the way it can play off in ourselves. So let's continue. I think
think in general people feel pretty overwhelmed with the idea of evangelism. I think a lot of people feel like in order to share their faith, they need a master's degree in ethics and a master's degree in apologetics. So just telling people, go out there and share your faith, in some sense can be very, very overwhelming. The fears are of not having the information they need, not having answers to the larger questions, not being able to convey those in such a short period of time, feeling the pressure to get it right, outcome anxiety. Sometimes we make sharing God's love and evangelism too complicated. There's three phrases in the New Testament that talk about Jesus' mission. The first phrase says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Then it says, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. So this is the purpose of God. He came to seek and save. He came as the Savior from our sin. The third time that that phrase is used, the Son of Man came, is actually about the methodology or the way that he did it. It said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And that was his methodology. His mission was to serve. His mission was to save. The way he did it was by eating and drinking. So to me, hospitality and reclaiming this vision of hospitality is the way that we take steps towards engaging people in the world. Almost every time you see Jesus in the gospel, he is eating, going to someone's house, leaving someone's house, on his way to someone's house, or with another meal. In fact, if you were to say, take Luke's gospel, it just moves from hospitality moment to hospitality moment to hospitality moment, ultimately culminating with Jesus around the table, talking about his death, and then after his resurrection, he's with his disciples again, breaking bread and talking. And it seems that when you get around a table, you get around a meal, it just creates this space for the ministry of Jesus to happen in the lives of others. So to me, I think one of the central ways and the easiest ways is moving towards hospitality, opening up our hearts and lives and inviting other people in. You know, one of the challenges of living in our modern life, our lives are so fast. They can just be a blur. We move so quickly that we can often just, it's not that God's not working. We're just not aware of what's actually happening. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, one of the things that's always stood out to me is Jesus' ability just to see people. Jesus saw people everybody else overlooked. He saw blind people, he saw sinners, he saw those who needed healing. And often the disciples would just rush past them like they were irrelevant so they could get onto bigger things. But Jesus just noticed the individual. So in many ways, we need to just reclaim the art of paying attention to what God's doing around us. And sometimes it's not very dramatic. There's no pillar of fire, there's no cloud. It's just a prompting or a response, or listening to a tone in somebody's voice, or hearing a strain in something they're communicating, or details they continually bring up about areas of concern. And those little moments can often be invitations or windows into what's happening behind the scenes. And that's often the Holy Spirit highlighting his work so that we can respond and step into that and see God's love move into that person's life. So I was thinking about this as a pastor in New York. One day I got into a taxi and we were driving past a restaurant that was one of my favorite restaurants, and it was always popular. There was a line out the door, and I'd struck up a conversation with the taxi driver, and he was an immigrant like I was. And there was a lot of controversy at the time about immigrants and people moving with this nation. There was a lot of fear of the other. Who were these people coming in? Would they disrupt our way of life? A lot of political commentary like that. But as we began to talk, all of those stereotypes fell away, and we just found ourselves being fathers, both from different places, trying to make our way into this country. And as we moved past this particular restaurant with a line out the door, I said to him, hey, have you ever eaten there? Have you tried that food? And he said to me, no, I always see the lines there. I've always wondered if it's good. So I said to him, hey, if you leave the meter running in the taxi and I run in and grab some of that food, do you want to just sit here and keep talking? And he said, would you really do that? And I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So I ran in and I got him some of this food. And it was actually this almost like a transcendent moment. It was two men from other sides of the world sitting in a taxi, sharing food. And all of the stereotypes about who he was and what he represented just melted away. And we had in the middle of New York this little portal of belonging that broke in the midst of all the stereotypes, all of the suspicion, just opening our hearts, sharing our stories. And it was the highlight of my day. And as we got out of the taxi, I realized That's exactly what had happened. This environment of welcome shifted our understanding of each other, and this community of belonging was formed, even for a moment in a taxi on the side of the street in the middle of New York. And I couldn't help but wonder what would happen in our lives if we just paid attention to those little promptings and these environments of welcome, these little portals of hospitality broke out. And if that became a normal practice for followers of Jesus in coffee shops, in workplaces, on sports fields, soccer moms, everybody, there would just be this deconstruction of fear, and there would be an inbreaking of love and welcome. And that may be what we're called to do as followers of Jesus in our time.
So, what stood out to you about what he shared, and what inspired and challenged you? Helen's up.
Just exactly how they began talking in the cab with no preconceived ideas. It just began to flow out of them, and they connected. And from there, it just became a relationship at that point. It wasn't something they were trying to do or trying to get to know or thinking, I got to be friendly or I got to know this person. It just flowed. Somebody had to open their mouth and start to talk.
Yeah.
What touched me more is Jesus went to see people. All kinds of people. And this, I enjoy that, because one day I was going shopping and I came out of the store and there was this guy in a wheelchair, and it was cold. It was really cold. And I got in, I put my purse on the floor, and I look at this guy and I said, oh Lord, that poor guy is out there, you know, it's cold. And I think he was waiting for people to give him some money. And then there was a voice in my heart. We know when God talks to us, and he says, take the money you have in your wallet, and you give it to him. I said, Lord. He said, go. So I opened my wallet. It happens I just had $20. I don't know if I had $200, if I would have given. Maybe, yes. But anyway, I went to this guy, and I gave him the $20. And I said, Christmas is almost here, so Merry Christmas. And he said to me, why do you do this to me? I said, because I love God and God loves you. He says, are you sure you have enough money to give me that $20? Oh, I said, yes, and my Jesus is very rich. So he gave his life to the Lord in the cold out there. So I said, Lord, see, I love you so much. So please, people, God prepare and he sends people in the world for us to open our eyes to go to them and talk. Please do it, because we are in the end of time and there's a lot of people need to be saved.
Well, and it's the understanding that God's already at work. You know, that's the first thing that we often miss, is that you never know what God's already doing in people's lives. Sorry.
So what stood out for me was the whole concept of sharing over hospitality and eating, because like, it just made so much sense. And I've never really heard that before. And it's true in the Bible. Okay, sorry about that. So it's true, but in the Bible, Jesus is always at a table, eating, sharing company, fellowship. Like, and we do that within the church community. You know, we eat, we have, you know, family Sundays, we go out as friends in the church. Yeah, I think that really struck me as it's a really good avenue to open up and start sharing and be hospitable to people, you know, in your home or at your own table.
Yeah. Well, and it's
even outside.
That's an amazing insight, because Jesus, you know, there's only three or four accounts in the Bible where Jesus is alone. And it highlights them as odd that Jesus is so alone. And three, I think, you know, if you kind of lump the synoptics together in like to like, 75% of them, he's praying when he's alone. The only time Jesus ever truly apart from anybody, including, you know, excluding prayer because he's with God, Father, is when he's on his way to see someone. So it's, yeah.
I loved how they were talking about the gift of hospitality and how Jesus noticed, took time to notice the individual, which you have to do if you're sharing a meal. And my favorite phrase from that session was learning how to reclaim the art of paying attention to what God is doing around us, which you know, could be a daily prayer to have the Holy Spirit open our eyes to what God would have us to do with the people right in front of us.
Yeah. Any other? We'll give Zach a shot, and then we'll continue our video.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to look at it from a slightly different angle, and that's that I was thinking, obviously, how great a story that was, but just reminded me of all the missed opportunities that I've had over the years where I could have started a conversation or I could have done that and I haven't, you know, and I just need to be a constant reminder to myself that, you know, there's opportunities every day.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to open your heart to them.
Well, and one of the most prominent things that I remember hitting me like a rock was this idea that what you win them with is what you win them to. So if I'm being overly religious and someone wants to come to that faith, that's what they're going to want to be like. If I'm engaging and welcoming and relationship focused, well, I'm inviting them to a relationship with God now. So I'm demonstrating the very thing that I want to win them to. So let's continue.
Growing up, I was in a very atheist household. It was my mother, my brother, and I. They didn't go to church. They didn't follow any religion of any sort. When I was 19, I was coming out of a really awful relationship that had lasted the good majority of 3 years. It was really hard on me mentally, emotionally, physically, just very dark and negative and toxic. I remember one day just being in the room alone, quiet and sad, and it felt like something was in the room with me, if you want to explain it that way. I just felt something caring for me. And I asked the question, is this God? Is this, you know, Jesus trying to get through to me? So I was left with a lot of questions.
I would say there were quite a few like curious people there, either people that had grown up in a Christian background or had known people. I wondered what it would look like just to host an alpha for my friends and particularly my coworkers. I was definitely pretty nervous just because obviously it's really easy to make a name for yourself at your workplace because you're there all the time, whether it's like, oh, you could be like the really fun one, or it's like very easily you could be like, oh, that Christian that always asks people to go to church. And I didn't want her to think that our friendship was just so I could invite her to church.
So Ashton and I were working a shift together. We were walking past each other and she stopped me from where I was going and just said it very directly, casually, I want you to come to an alpha. What day is going to work for you? What day is consistent for you? And I was immediately drawn and ready to participate in it.
There's not really a super easy way to do it. There's no, if you're ever waiting for like the right time, there's times that are better than others, but there's not like a time that it really like, you're like, this is the moment.
So I showed up at Alpha for the first time. It was very welcoming, very casual. Lots of people that I knew were there, all my age. So, you know, you walk in, people were hugging, people were saying hello, people were catching up, there was food there. So it just felt like you were going to hang out with your friends. A lot of people had questions just like I did. They were either atheist, Christian, nothing. Like, they just had the same questions as me. So I felt very comfortable knowing that I wasn't the only one who was exploring it.
Maybe halfway, maybe like three quarters, we were just talking and it was discussion time. She's like, yeah, well, like now that I'm Christian. And I was like, what? And I was like, and I was like, kind of like, look at other people that I know, and I looked at them, and they looked at me, and I was like,
things just started to make sense for me. Things started clicking. My past, there were like certain connecting dots that I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then, yeah, I think I just told you one day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a huge big bang or like I saw the light or anything. It was just, I woke up, I'm like, this is who I am.
Yeah, I firmly believe, like, obviously it wasn't me that like brought you to Christ and like gave you this life. It was like, I was just being like faithful. It's like God's call, and that looked like inviting you. And then he like did the rest, and he like obviously like does so much for your life. And
I think you just kind of helped me like see a little clearer, or like help me move a little bit closer. Yeah.
God pulled through.
Whenever I'm part of a conversation like this, like a conversation about sharing my faith or evangelization, I find that there are a few different emotions at play inside of me at the same time. There's this part of me that's really excited, you know, excited about going forward with new intentionality in this area. There's a part of me that feels thankful hearing how God has impacted people's lives. And I can also experience feelings of guilt about not doing enough in the past, or even some fear or uncertainty about what this could look like going forward. And I bet you can relate to this. And for me, I've found the most comfort when I move my attention from what I haven't done or have to do and turn it to what God has done and is actively doing in the lives of the people we meet every day. And that's the big idea I think we need to pull from this session, that God is at work around us and we're invited to join him. We don't have to wonder if God wants to reach people or not. He does and is, and we're welcome to be part of it. And this realization allows me to approach situations in my day-to-day life with more openness and curiosity. Curiosity about people and about what God might be up to. I find myself less overwhelmed by like a vague sense of duty or guilt. And I find a healthy conviction and motivation by a sense of being invited into what God is doing. Why don't you take some time right now to talk about this idea a little bit more? In your discussion, unpack your thoughts and feelings about the themes and ideas that have come up in this first session.
So instead of making you guys talk about it, what we're going to do is I'm going to just close in prayer, and I'm going to ask you to just, we've got these little prayer cards that I've cut. What I want you to do, we're going to take these prayer cards home, and on the back is room for three names. I want you to think about three people that you are already in relationship with, that you'd like to pray for about coming to know the Lord. Nice Christianese there. But become friends with Jesus, right? However we want to talk about it. So I want to invite you to take this conversation about what it means to walk in that. You know, underpinning this is an old Jewish thought. I don't know how many of you know this, but the Jewish day starts at sunset, right? So you start your day resting. The day starts, you're like, okay, God, I'm going to bed. Then, 8 hours later or 10 hours later, depends how well you sleep, 4 hours. depends if you have kids, I guess. But you wake up in the morning, and the first thought that a traditional Jew would have is, good morning, Lord. You have been at work all day already. Where can I join where you're already working? And I think that's kind of what he's driving at, is God's already at work. Be attentive. Be open, be receptive to say, okay, God, if you're already at work, what are you doing in me? What are you doing in them? How can I join where you're already doing? So I want to encourage you to have that conversation with each other. Come get a prayer card from one of these five people, Roger, Cherie. We're just going to pray, and then I'll dismiss you to hand them out. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to have this privilege of conversing about our faith and what it means to share it, what it means to see your heart and to see that you're already at work here. Thank you for this time and for the gift of community. What we win people with is what we win them to. Help us to exhibit that love relationship with you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. And I'd say if you want to talk to them afterwards, you can grab some of these from them afterwards as well. I invite the worship team to come up and close.